Okay. So, John, could we have that first scripture up, please? Here we go. So, if you can turn in your Bibles to Luke 2:25, or you can, it'll be up on the screen. So, this week, as probably a number of you will be aware, there was a lot of things happening on the back of what was an incredible weekend. Who was here last weekend and just had an incredible time? Just a blessed time. And so as I was going through this week and preparing my sermon, it was like I don't know, every time I sat down to do something, I just couldn't think, found it hard to concentrate. So this morning, I've got a few things that it probably won't be the most polished sermon you've ever heard, but I think in a way that's good. It's not all about having a sermon that is polished and that you know you've prayed about and thought through. And I've just got a couple of things. I just believe the Holy Spirit wants to just say something through whatever comes out this morning. Is that all right? Well, too bad if it's not. And I don't know how on earth I came up with this scripture, but I just read it during this week, and I thought, you know, it's about Jesus' birth. It's, you know, it's all these things that sort of happened before the cross, but it is so applicable to us today. So as we read through this, I just pray that God would really give you revelation today. It's, what is going on here? Oh, there you are. Spreading my wings. All right. Anyone here called Simeon? Any of the kids out there? We've got any Simeons? No? Simeon, this dude Simeon was an old man. And sometimes old people, I wouldn't know about that because I'm not there yet, but sometimes older people can feel like, you know, their time's past and that, you know, it's up to the next generation. And I know that there's a couple of you had words last week. So if you're older, don't ever feel that your time's over. You've probably got so much wisdom and things that you can add to this place, to people's lives, to your family, to the next generation. And this man, Simeon, even though he was virtually coming to the end of his life, the revelation that this guy had is incredible, and we're just going to unpack this a little bit. So we'll pick it up in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. Everyone say Simeon. Simeon. Who was righteous and devout. That tells you a lot about him, doesn't it? He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the customs of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, because he'd been waiting for this, "Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. I've been waiting for this my whole life, and now it's happened, so I'm ready to die. But before I die, there's a few more things I want to say. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother, which were Joseph and Mary, and they marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." The next slide we have there talks about just a couple of points I want to bring out about Simeon. So the scripture introduces Simeon and it says he's righteous and devout. If someone could say two words about you, would you like to be called righteous and devout? See, if you're here today and you have a relationship with Jesus, you're righteous. And it's not because of anything that you could do, any works or anything. All you have to simply do is put your faith and your trust in Jesus and you become righteous. And some of you here today, you need to understand that, that if you've taken that step, you are righteous. Not because of what you could possibly do, but because of what he's done for you. And to be righteous and devout is to have like a commitment to a religious faith. So with righteousness, once again, comes a responsibility of what are you going to do with that? And to have devotion and commitment to the local church is an incredibly powerful thing. It's like it's the outworking of your righteousness. You're putting it to use. It's not just something that this incredible gift that you've been given that you just keep to yourself or you keep in the confines of your own home. But it's displayed amongst your family here and amongst your wherever you go. It's not a secret. And Simeon was righteous and he was devout. And he was waiting. See, Simeon was a big picture kind of guy. He wasn't just the tunnel vision of what is just happening in his own life and his own backyard. He was a big picture guy. And the Holy Spirit had spoken to him and he was waiting. He'd had a word from God and he was waiting. He was waiting. He was waiting. And sometimes, you know, us here, we can go through years and years and years and it's like God has spoken a word and hasn't come to pass. Well, Simeon and Gideon, two mighty men. He didn't give up. He kept expecting, he kept waiting. And the time came where everything that the Holy Spirit had spoken to him about was about to come to pass. This scripture also talks about that the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now we know pre-Jesus, before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit came upon people. You know, we think of King David, the Holy Spirit came upon him and mighty men and women in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon them at a certain point in time so that they could do incredible things through their God. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the good news for us today is we don't have to wait for certain times for the Holy Spirit to come upon us because the Holy Spirit has been poured out freely on the day of Pentecost and all those who believe have access to the Holy Spirit and baptism in the Holy Spirit. And in the last days, Joel said, and Peter used that scripture again in Acts chapter 2 when he gave that incredible sermon, in the last days the Holy Spirit will be poured out on all flesh. So that includes us. So we don't have to wait for a special moment in time when the favor of the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He's in us, amen? And he gives us all that we need. The boldness, the equip, the leading, the guiding, to be led and guide to do all that he's called us to do. I was thinking about awaken. You know what happened to me this week? One morning I woke up and I wasn't thinking about this situation at all. And the Holy Spirit just said, this is the key to that situation. This is why that is happening. And I thought, I was awakened this week. What a great theme for a conference. The Awakening Togetherness Conference. But that's what the Holy Spirit is about. He reveals things to us that we cannot know. In our own thinking, we don't know. What's the answer to this situation, Lord? I've got no idea, and the Holy Spirit just speaks. So when he's in us and he's leading us and he's guiding us, that should be an everyday occurrence. Not just a light bulb moment. Wow, the God of the universe spoke to me through his Spirit. When you're righteous and devout and the Holy Spirit lives in you, that should be a daily occurrence. And it's like a muscle. You know, we can all have muscles, and some of us, the muscles just sort of hang there. You know, you put your arm up like this, and instead of this big bulge, it's like this big hang underneath. And in a way, we all understand that when we exercise a muscle, it can go from sag to something to be proud of, you know. And in our Christian walk, it's like we've been given all the tools. But if we don't realise it and exercise them, then nothing happens and we wonder why. So the more that you walk in step with the Spirit and attune your ear to His voice, the more you will hear and the more you will act and the more profound effect you will have. Amen? Simeon was given revelation by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had revealed certain things to him. One of those certain things, which was absolutely incredible, was when you look back at that scripture, it talks about in verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles." See, the Jews were expecting the Messiah to come, and he was just going to fix all their problems. And when he did come, many of them didn't recognize him. And it's probably 35, 40 years later when Peter's having in Acts chapter 10, and he's having this discussion with God about could the Gentiles possibly be made clean, and is salvation possibly for the Gentiles? And in the previous chapter, Paul had an encounter with Jesus, and he was going to be an apostle and a light to the Gentiles. And so we go back 35, 40 years previous, and Simeon, he's already had this revelation. He already knew it was going to happen. The Holy Spirit spoke to him about that when the Messiah come, he was going to be like to all nations. It's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles. And thank God it is for the Gentiles, because that includes you and me today, amen? And he had this revelation. Don't think you're old and you're washed up and you're no good. He had revelation before these amazing apostles even got it. And the Holy Spirit does that. He speaks and he gives us revelation. He gives us insight. He unlocks doors and he gives us keys. And expect that to happen. He saw God's promise. He was faithful and he continued and he prayed and fasted. And that next passage there goes on to talk about Anna, who was a prophetess, and she just spent her whole life just praying and fasting. So you got these incredible characters in the Bible that are just, that was their life. They'd been promised the Messiah and they were hanging in there until they saw it happen. And then the last point there, he blessed them and he spoke prophetically. See, each and every one of you, as you go through your daily walk, you have the opportunity to bless people and to speak prophetically into their life. I was talking with Sandy on Thursday, and because of the circumstances that happened during the week, she just said, up till Thursday, that was what, Monday, 4 days, or 3.5 days at that point, she had the opportunity to pray for 20 people and just bless them and speak into their life. expect that to be a normal part of your life. See, you were so right. Something shifted in the spiritual realm over this church, over this region last weekend, and over your life. Your life. Your individual life. And you see, you have a choice right there. To shrink back because something happens, because of anxiety or fear, or, you know, it's like a theme that's been through communion, through everything that's been said today. And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to shrink back. He wants to for this circumstance to happen in your life. And it's too hard, and you shrink back, and maybe all those promises and things that God did, will, and they can sort of just fade into the background. See, right then we have a choice. Don't shrink back. If you take away one sentence for today, it's don't shrink back. And Simeon, he blessed Mary and Joseph. And he said some things like, a sword will pierce your soul. And sometimes when God is doing something amazing, or we're praying for revelation, you know, we might conjure up this concept that everything's going to happen and everyone's going to get saved and it's just we're all going to live happily ever after. It doesn't always work out that way. Probably when we think of revival comes a lot of mess, a lot of opposition, a lot of stuff that arises, and what's going to happen, God? Don't shrink back. Who cares what happens, what opposition, what might get thrown at you? Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. Opposition. You know, people can oppose things. And they can oppose it, and they can oppose it, and they can oppose it. And it's a bit like a tidal wave. I was just thinking, remember when Adam was here a few months ago and he had this vision of this big wave? It's like, if you've never seen a tidal wave, it's probably hard to imagine or believe what it is. And it's like, I don't believe in tidal waves. I've never seen one. I've never experienced one. I've never heard about. I don't believe in them. It can be a bit like that with the things of God. People can oppose and oppose. I don't believe it. It's a fairy tale. None of it's true. It'll cause them to have to make a decision, to feel like they have to clean up their life, that they could never do that, that that's for you, but it's not for them. I don't believe all that. But you know what? When a tidal wave comes and it sweeps you along with it, no longer can you say, I don't believe it. And to me, I think that's what revival is about. It's about there's things that are stirring in individuals' hearts. There's things that are stirring in churches. There's things that are stirring in regions. And guess what? It's not just this region. It's all across this nation. You go and talk to people, you talk to pastors, you mix with in these groups and these things, and it's happening everywhere. And there'll probably be a lot of opposition. There'll probably be a lot of mess. But I believe it's going to get to a point where it's just like, whoosh. It's happened. Make a choice. Get in there or whatever, but you can't deny it. And he blessed them and he spoke prophetically in their life. So even though we've looked at a passage that happened just as Jesus was being born, see, so much of that is relevant for today, for us, for people that are post the cross, that have the Holy Spirit. And I encourage you, walk in revelation, walk in his leading, walk in his guiding, and don't shrink back. Amen? All right, our next slide. Written by the Shepherd and News cadet journalist, Laura Briggs. See, Laura got a job at the Shepherd and News a few weeks ago, and one comment was, oh, you'll probably just answer the phones for the first year. 2 weeks in, bought the paper, she's got four articles, and I thought, what did they do before Laura turned up? And it's just incredible that God has blessed her with such a fantastic job. And what a good-looking bunch. Yeah. Spreading hope and love. The circulation of the Shepparton News has probably really gone up since Mr. Briggs and Mr. Black and everyone having their comments in there. I just believe the timing of God is an amazing thing. And I'm just so, I suppose, excited about what God is doing, because there's been a shift. There's been a change. We've had a conference for the last 5 years, and it started off as a arts and prophetic conference, and it's sort of grown and built more into a church conference focusing on revival. And the most exciting thing, I suppose, for me last week was seeing all those souls saved. It's like each year there's just been another layer and another layer and another layer, and I can't wait to see what God wants to do next year. But the thing about that is as I move around and talk to people, there's so many things that are coming out of last weekend. You know, just talking with Tim again this morning. Just God's blessing upon you guys and healing that's flowing. See, Tim and Troy both used to have migraines regularly. Since the men's camp, nothing. See, God is doing some amazing things. Riley rang Melissa up this week for a quick chat. It went for about an hour, didn't it? Did you have your phone on speaker, or was that just... You did. Oh, I thought that might have just been Riley talking normally. But just talking about the great things, and she's so pumped because of what God is doing in her work situation and souls being saved and just a passion for God. And I just really feel that something has shifted, amen? And I want to encourage you to get on board. Something is shifting. It can shift in your own personal life. It can shift in your family. It can shift in your workplace, in your school. But you got to believe it. You got to believe it. It's not just for the faithful few. It's not just for the people that have that personality. It's for everyone. And God is wanting to do something incredible in you, regardless of your personality type. He wants to do something incredible in you regardless of where you've come from. He wants to do something incredible in you and through you to touch other people regardless of your bank balance, of your qualifications, of your nationality. He wants to do something incredible in you, because as you open up and you allow him to do that, it touches everyone that you come across, everyone that you have influence. And you will be able to minister into the lives of people that probably everyone else here won't, because they're not in your world. And those people are. Do you get it? Our next slide. Just reading up a little bit. Billy Graham, in his 1959 crusade, was holding meetings at the Meyer Music Bowl. And the crowds were coming and getting too big, so they made a decision to hold the last night, the last day, at the MCG. And reports there say that 130,000 people turned up. Some reports say as much as 145,000 people turned up. Now, I've been to the MCG with 100,000 people. And even though it was for a football game, it's like the crowd and the atmosphere was electric. How much more would it be with a, with that crowd at the MCG? And you should know because you were there. I've been to the Acer Arena in Sydney for Hillsong, and I think there was 25,000 people there worshipping together, and that was an incredible experience. But what about a crowd like this? Reports say that was the closest that Australia has come to seeing revival. And yet a generation on, so much has been lost and the world has changed so much. And, you know, we were a Christian nation. It doesn't look like that at the moment. That's why. Not only do we do what we do in our personal lives, but we're part of a big picture. Stuff like this is part of the big picture because it captures the attention of people. It captures the attention of the nation. Can we have our next slide? Thanks, John. Daniel was saying that they have the opportunity to be able to bring people onto the field at Etihad. So I estimate, because there's 50,000 seats, that there possibly could fit 70,000 in there. Ben Fitzgerald saw a vision on the opening night, who's part of this team, of 30,000 people. And I believe it's just going to build and it's going to build and it's going to build. We have the opportunity to be part of what could be the biggest Christian gathering event in our nation since 1959. And they're talking about beaming the Sunday morning on God TV around all the whole thing, but on God TV around the world and possibly having that in churches right around Australia. So we have the opportunity to be part of this. Why do I think that's important? Because when you see things like that and you have the opportunity to experience things like that, it takes you out of your own little bubble, out of your own little world, and it causes you to see that we have a big God. And things like this, it captures the attention of people. And I believe that this, as an incredible event that it will be, is probably just the start of something huge to come. Do you guys want to come up? I remember we were at a Rodney Howard Brown conference in Melbourne. This was going back in the 90s. And it was at the Entertainment Centre. And we just had a series of incredible meetings. And there was a glow upon the Entertainment Centre. It was like this glow was coming off. And it wasn't just some spooky spiritual thing that a few Christians saw. The fire brigade turned up because they thought the place was on fire. And I think that held 6,000 or 8,000 people. So we could see 70,000 people there. I said it before and I'll say it again. Something's shifting, amen? Something is shifting. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, God, that you are doing something incredible. And it's like we're just on the cusp, on the start of something amazing happening in our nation. And my prayer, my heart is that I don't want to miss out on this. I want to be part of it. I want this church to be part of it. I want this region to be part of it. So God, when we think about the big things of revival and stadiums and TV just going out around the whole world, we think, I want to be part of that. But we also think about in a sense, what is more of the little things, and it's each individual saying, I won't shrink back. I won't shrink back. I've got a new understanding. I've got a new passion. I've got a new desire that the Holy Spirit, you can work in me and through me wherever I go in my community. And in a sense, that's the big and that's the little of revival, and we need them both, because the big doesn't happen without the little. So as we close our service today and we sing a song, we're just going to open up the front. You might just want to just come up and just worship God, or you may have a need. You may think, I need this Jesus in my life. I need to get saved. I need to put traction to all this. I need to make a start. Whatever your prayer need may be, just come and we'll have people pray with you. We're going to sing a song, we're going to close, we're going to have some morning tea. But then as we go out, then we can look forward to another incredible gathering together next Sunday. But think of all the incredible opportunities every one of us has in the next 7 days. Amen. All right, bless you. Thanks, girls.